Let me pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we are grateful and we are thankful to you for who you are to each and every one of us. And as we come together here, it's all about you. It's not about us. We give ourselves to you, Lord. Even when we are weak, we are yours. And as we sit together here and listen to you, and as I speak to your people, I pray that your Holy Spirit will empower, and whatever I speak will be a word from you speaking to us. You know us much more better than we know ourselves. And so we give ourselves, each and every one of us, unto your care. This is our prayer in Jesus' name with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Good morning once again. I'm glad because I was able to make it. Last night I thought I will not make it because I was having high fever. I can't even touch my skin. They were painful. And I have a husky, even though I have still. So I was having cough and cold. But I was excited because I've been awaiting for this when Reverend Sherry told me to speak. I've been prepared and excitedly waiting for this. And as unexpectedly, just last night, it hit me with that disease. I thought I will not able to make it, but I was hopeful that God will heal me. And somehow I woke up fresh, and even though I still have my vocal cord not, I can't use it as loud as I can, but at least I can make sound. So I want to thank God for this, and our Reverend Sherry, our chaplain, for giving me this opportunity. And even though I just recently graduated, it's an honor and privilege for me to come here and speak as a graduate. And connecting to that, I want to thank all of you, our professors, and the whole community as a whole, for investing your time, your knowledge, and making me who I am today. I think I have learned a lot more than what I expected. And I think I'm more confident, I'm more refined, I'm not perfect, but I have learned a lot from here in this community, not just in the class, but even our life living together. So praise God for that. And as we see, maybe you guys are saying, oh, we are going to speak again on the same topic, fix our eyes on Jesus. Yes, I'm going to do that. And many of us, we have been listening to this same topic from various speakers, starting from the worship leaders, all the songs. We try to relate to this theme. And we are blessed in many ways. But I still want to speak on this. But from a very different perspective. But before I say that, I want to ask, have we really fixed our eyes on Jesus? And if you think that you have really fixed your eyes on Jesus, what make you say that? How can you say that, yes, I have really fixed my eyes on Jesus? Do you see anything? And so, today I want to talk about the outcome of fixing our eyes on Jesus. As every choices have consequences, right? Our choice, as we choose to fix our eyes on Jesus, that should result to something. The outcome should be there. So I'm going to talk more on that today. So here in our passage, it's on, but it's not working. The next, okay. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, I will. In our passage, which our sister have clearly read to us already, Paul start by saying this, to fix our eyes and to mind on Jesus Christ, on things above and not on earthly things. He urged the church of Colossians to fix our minds and heart on above where Christ is seated here. Since you have been raised to life, to new life which with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heavens, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. So Paul starts with encouraging people to focus on Jesus Christ, to fix their mind and heart on Jesus Christ. I'm sure Paul knows that if we fix our eyes on people, if we look at people, the things of this world, people will disappoint you. Your roommate will disappoint you. Seminarian will disappoint you. Theologian will disappoint you. Pastors will disappoint you. Parents may even disappoint you. But Paul knows, knowing that he wants us to fix our eyes on Jesus, in whom our passage clearly says that in Christ there is everything, and we are renewed in the image of God, in His knowledge. We want God, Paul wants us to focus on Him, not on people, not on your roommate, not on your pastor, not on anything, but in all, with our everything, we have to focus on Jesus Christ. And Paul in Colossians was talking about targeting to the heresies, the Gnostic teaching that Christ is not enough. You need special knowledge to be saved. And Paul says, no, in Christ there is everything. He was there from before the creation. Everything was created through Him and for Him. And in Christ, therefore, there is everything for our salvation and for our Christian holy living. We just have to focus on Him. We just have to learn from Him. He has demonstrated that for us. Is that not great? Paul wants us to focus on Jesus and not on anyone. Not even to your parents. I just want to share a testimony. I grew up in a very verbally abusive family. I was surrounded with verbally abusive relatives, families. I live in that home where everybody shout and yell the way we talk. Starting from our grandfather. He has his name because he just wants to get angry and scold everyone. The whole community called him Shelly, which is when you are like always scolding, always angry. The name is something like that. And my father, my uncles, all of them were hot-blooded, angry people. And every time I go home and like what I hear is always shouting, yelling, even the normal conversation that you can expect. Like always angry. And as a young little boy, I was really confused. I was really angry. I was modeled by those. I became a very angry person. And there is no peace. I remember every time I go home, I don't want to go home alone. I will bring my friends home. I will go to my house with my friends because I don't want to be just with my family and just me. I need friends. So it so happened that there is no peace at home. It was something that I don't like. But one day, there was a prayer and fasting program for 3 days in our church. I was a young teenager, so I was not even invited, but it was for the youth. But I followed my cousin sisters and went and attend that prayer and fasting. And there, I'm sure God brought me there for this purpose, that in that prayer and fasting, our youth director, he was explaining to us about a song, a very simple yet powerful song, explaining to us about the song. The song says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And when I heard that, and when I sing that song, the Spirit of God started to work in me. I feel like this is what I was looking for. So after that, when I give my life to God on that occasion, when I went home, there is still shouting, there is still angry people around me, but I still feel the peace of God. That peace that the world cannot give us. Even in the world of chaos, when I started to fix my eyes, I feel like this is what I need. Not even my family, not even my parents. God started to work in me. I started praying for them. I started organizing prayer meeting in her family. And God started to work in their life and started transforming their life. And our siblings, all of us, we started serving the Lord together. We go to church. We go for a crusade and all this. We gave our best. And as we continued to pray for our family, it was very difficult for us to continue praying for my angry father, my parents. But as we continue to keep on doing with the peace of Christ ruling in our heart, God changed it, and praise the Lord, they are a better Christian today. Even though we grew up in a Christian family, it was just a nominal Christian. We just go to church, we just go for celebration just because we are raised in a Christian family. We were not really focusing, fixing our eyes on Jesus. But when we fixed our eyes on Jesus, there was transformation. There was change. And that is what we want to talk about today. Not fixing our eyes on people, not even your professors, roommate, pastors, but on Jesus Christ alone, who is everything for us. And coming here to APNTS, our little, small, intercultural community, we might not have the same problem like my family had, but we also have challenges, difficulties. This sermon is actually an outcome of listening to Dr. Lin's preaching early of this semester. He was preaching when different culture come together, there is culture shock, and when there is culture shock, there is conflict, misunderstanding, and which result to isolation, right? And that is what I'm sure we are going through. We don't really understand one another. We think that, why is this guy doing? Why he want to keep the fan whole night, right? See, I used to clean, but he never clean. See, what is clean for this culture may not be clean for this culture. What is cold for this culture may not be cold for this culture. And there are a lot of adjustment that we have to do it. And when we have those frustration come, conflict come, misunderstanding come, and we try to build those wall, which is going back to the last year theme we have, breaking down walls, building bridges, and bonding in love. We deal with that the whole semesters, and have we really break down those walls? Have we really breached that breach of love? If we only fix our eyes on Jesus, we will then break down those dividing walls. Then only we will achieve our vision of this seminary, bridging cultures for Christ, not for us, but for Christ. In schools, we wear uniform. Everybody, the rich, the poor, good background, bad, everyone from different tribe as I grew up, same uniform. And when you come together, everyone looks the same. There is a sense of unity. Nobody's poor, nobody's rich. Everybody sit in the same classroom and listen to the same lecture. And here today, as we deal with our passage, as Paul urged the church of Colossians to fix their eyes on Jesus, the outcome is that we will learn to wear, next slide please. He urged us that we will clothe ourselves with these virtues, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and forgiveness. forgiving one another as the Lord has forgave us. I want us to make this our uniform, APNTS uniform. If we wear this, I think you will enjoy that. Psalms 133 says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people come together and live in perfect unity. Everyone longs to live in perfect unity. And Paul wants, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, Paul wants us to fix our eyes and learn from him and wear these new clothes. And the next slide here, he says, he came up with three lists here. The first list, it says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immoralities, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. He's dealing with idolatry here. So, here, Paul is talking about sin of sexual attitude and behavior. It's not just one aspect, but it is holistic. Your attitude, your spiritual, your emotional, your physical, everything as a whole. He wants us to remove, take off this old self. And here, the word put to death, it is a very strong word here. How can we, like, not have those desires? But what Paul is trying to say here is, I'm sure, it is not, you will not have those temptations anymore. You will not feel anything anymore. It will be dead. But it is not. Paul is the one, the same person who said to the Galatians, he said, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. It is Christ who lives in us. So even though we have this, we make that as if they are dead to us. Because it is dealing with idolatry. When we talk about idolatry, it is about when we make anything more important than God. Our body is a temple of God, Paul says, a living temple of God. We are bought with a price, with a ransom price, his blood dying on a cross for us. And we are to glorify, we are to honor him with our body, with our life. So the next list, Paul said, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, angry family, right? Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, and from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practice. Paul not just deal with the sexual behaviors and attitude, but he also says you have to remove your sin of speech, something relating to your lips, your mouth, your tongue. Guard your lips, guard your tongue. He wants us to remove anger. See, when we fix our eyes, and like I said about my testimony, when we really focus on our eyes on God, there is nothing that you cannot change when you really fix your eyes on Jesus. I think I have experienced that. And people say, oh, I cannot change. This is just us. This is our family. We are just angry people. It's not that we are angry, but we are just like this. But that means we are not really focusing, fixing our eyes on Jesus. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, it should transform us. The blood of Jesus Christ should transform us. And here Paul wants us to take off, relating to our tongue. Gossip, what about gossip? It can destroy our relationship. Take away the peace, the eternal peace that God wants us to have. We think that we are just talking. We think that, I have nothing to do. I will just talk. But what if you hear about somebody talking evil of you at your back? Your peace will be gone. You will be frustrated. You will be disappointed. And that's how relationships are being ruined. I have seen that in my life. And we have to guard. And I cannot forget this one particular person, my roommate in my college. He talk a lot. He will talk. And I remember like when he will like talk to me, sometimes I used to sleep off. I'm so tired and I'll sleep off. And he will just stop and go and sleep. But the good thing about this roommate is every time he talk of something good of others. He tried to find something to appreciate others. Anything that is good. Even at the worst person, he will find something good in that person and speak of the good of others. And that's what I have learned from my roommate. His name is Vepocho, which I call Popo. He's a very good friend of mine. And I think we have a lot to learn from him. We need to learn to appreciate. We need to learn to focus not on the dark spot. That if we focus on the dark spot, it's lesser than the brighter white spot, right? But we are expert in focusing on the dark spot. And when we do that, we don't see the brighter side of a person. We have to learn to guard our tongue and remove this sin of speech before. And after that, he came up with a thirdly saying that, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any one of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Sorry. Here in the third list, after Paul talking about something, the old self that you have to remove, after removing that, you have to clothe yourself with this new clothes, which is the signs of love. It's not sin of love. It's signs of love. He wants us to clothe ourselves with these virtues that he's talking about here. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, he wants us to clothe ourselves with that. And as a little boy growing up, my favorite season was Christmas. I want to share this. Because that's the only time we get new clothes. Everything new. New shoe, new socks, new pen. Everything is new. And as we wake up early in the morning in Christmas, on Christmas morning, our place is very cold, freezing cold. You can't even wash your face with the water. It's painful. But we're so excited that we can't wait to wear our new clothes. We will take bath. Excited. Everyone in the village, they will take bath because they're excited to wear their new clothes at least in a year. And when we wear that, we'll go to church and everybody smells new. You know the smell, right? The whole church smells new. So good. And Paul is talking something like that. You don't just wear above your dirty, smelly clothes, but you have to remove those old self as you put on the new garment. We don't just put on that. The whole self should be clean, like us taking bath, even though it is cold, because we're excited to wear that new clothes. And it is important for us to wear the new clothes for us, all of us as a Christian, like Paul is telling us. Why? Because the generation is going to a different direction. Everyone is becoming self-centered, prideful, egoistic. And it is time for us to display these virtues and make a difference in our life. Like Dale Moody said, out of 100 men, one will read the Bible. The other 99 will read the Christians. Lazy people, lazy Christian may not read, or people may not read and know Bible, but they observe your lifestyle, the way you behave, the way you talk, the way you deal with others. And how are we reflecting? We need to wear that new garment. And how can we wear that? How can Paul give us the instruction? And not only Paul, but Jesus said in John chapter 15, right? When he talked about the true vine and the branches. He said, without me, you can do nothing. We cannot do this by our own. We have to fix our eyes on Jesus, the finisher and perfecter of our faith. Because in him there is everything. The good things about our gospel is that the Spirit of God that lives in us, he is everything. In him there is everything. He is humble. He is compassionate. He is kind. He is patient. He is forgiving. We just have to focus on him and learn from him. But how is that like if our Christian life is just trying to imitate him, trying to become like Jesus Christ? Just that we trying to become like him. What a story it will be, right? But it is more than that. Our Christian gospel is more than that. It's not just that, because for us Christians, the Spirit of God, who is all of that, is living in us. He don't have to try. That's just his nature. So our Christian mission is to allow that Spirit of God to become who he is in us. As we love, as we forgive, as we exercise the virtues that Paul is talking about, we allow the Spirit of God to become who he is in us. That's why the virtues that Paul mentioned here are the fruit of the Spirit. It's not fruits, it's fruit of the Spirit. If only you have the Spirit of God living in you, you will bear those. You just have to allow the Spirit of God lives in us. And allow him, not us. Many times we said, I will do this for the Lord. I will serve. I will do this and that. We think that we are doing for him. But it is not. We allow him to work through us. And as we do that, we become the hands and feet and voice of God to the world of need. Amen? We have to become the feet and hand and voice to the world of need. Instead of complaining about the world, chaos, the problem in the world, we just allow the Spirit of God to work through us. And if I'm not mistaken, it was in our Christian formation class in my first semester, Dr. Cunningham said this: the goal of our Christian formation is to become like Christ, which begins with humility. We have to become like him. Our goal is to become like Jesus Christ, which starts with humility. And here humility deals with surrendering, submission, total submission to the Spirit that lives in us. We have to humble ourselves. We have to give everything, surrender, and allow him to live in us. Hudson Taylor, he said, I used to ask God to help me. Then I asked if I might help him. I ended up by asking him to do his work through me. See, it's not us trying to help God. It is we allowing him to work through us. The Spirit of God working through us. And the verse, very important verse, if you don't like the previous virtues which Paul was talking about, what about this verse? And over all these virtues, put on love, love, which binds them all in perfect unity. What about love? Love is a super duper virtue of the Bible, which binds them all in perfect unity. It's like the super glue. See, if we will apply this in our community here, we live in a very diverse culture, different cultures, different, a lot of diversities. But we want to live in unity. We want to live in peace with one another. And how can we achieve that? If only we will love and respect one another with the love of the Lord, not our love. It's like building a house. When people build a house, what do? They mix cement, brick, stone, sand, all that you can mention, right? And there is something very important, that is water. Soft, right? Love is not harsh. Love is not rough, hard, but it is soft, like that water. But water plays a very important role here. It binds them all. So when you love and respect one another with the love of the Lord, it will even penetrate the hardest heart. And that will bind us together in perfect unity. And it will stand strong like a wall which is built with mixing with all this, with water. It is also like that super glue, right? It is soft. It is just like water. But when you bring those broken pieces, it fixes and it stands strong. And that's why Paul encouraged us to put on love, which will bind them all in perfect unity. That's why the clothes that Paul wants us to wear are the sign of love. When you have love, you have compassion, you have humility, you have patience, which Paul also talk in 1 Corinthians 13, right? And love stood out. And even when Jesus was asked about the greatest commandment, he talked about love. There were a lot of laws, commandments, but he summarized it to just one word, love. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, soul, and strength. Your 100%, your vertical relationship. He talked about loving the Lord. And he said the second one, love your neighbor as yourself. Love is very important here. So how can we continue to put these new clothes that we're talking about? Especially when times are hard, when frustration, difficulties, life throws those things at you. It is easy to love someone who loves you, who is good at you, right? But it is difficult when somebody don't really like you, speak evil of you. But how can we do that? Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Since as member of one body, you were called to peace. He wants us to let the peace of Christ rule in our heart. The peace that Jesus said before he spoke this to his disciple in John 14, 27. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. That peace, we need to allow that peace to rule in our hearts, so that in all situations, in all circumstances, we will continue to put on the new garment that Paul is talking about here. And is that peace evidenced in the life of Jesus Christ? Do we see that peace, the inner peace in Jesus Christ, in the life of Jesus? Yes. He was even peaceful, right? When he was in the midst of a storm, he was sleeping peacefully there. When people are freaking out, there was peace. When people were condemning him, torturing him, he stayed calm, even at the point of death, he allowed the peace of God to rule his heart. And that is what Paul encouraged us, as we have to allow the peace of Christ to rule in our heart, so that in all situations, no matter what come, the peace of Christ, just like I said in the beginning, I was peaceful even when there was yelling, shouting at home and my surrounding, because that peace of Christ is ruling my heart. And here I want to focus on the word rule. The peace, let the peace of Christ rule. What is this word rule? Here, the word rule means to act as an empire, to act as a referee. We need to allow the peace of Christ to be our referee, our director. When you are not sure, when you are in trouble, we need the peace of Christ to direct us, to lead us, so that no matter what you experience, no matter what you're going through, you will continue to wear that. When even somebody's like hating you, don't like you, you will continue to love. You will continue to wear that new garment that which I'm talking about. We have to. This is our APNTS uniform. We have to wear this all the time. Even in times of writing your assignment. Even in times of when your professors are so demanding. I think God brought us here so that we will learn to love one another, live in unity. And what we can do is to fix our eyes on Jesus and break down those walls. If we will not like to live together like this with different culture, different individuals, I think you will not like heaven. Because heaven is going to be something like this. Like the Revelation says, people from all tribes, nations, multitude of people were there. That is the vision that John saw, right? And if we will not like to live in this, something like this community, I'm sure you will also not like heaven. Because our heaven is also going to be something like that. Every color, every language, every culture you're going to see there. So as we look back after 10 years down the line, 5 years down the line, what will you say? If you look back your life here in APNTS, what will you say? I have learned to love. I have learned to fix my eyes on Jesus and break down those dividing walls. God has taught me how to love and forgive. God has taught me how to live in unity. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for speaking to us this morning. Thank you for directing us in a way that you want us to, Lord. As a community, Lord, we ask and pray that your Holy Spirit will empower us to fix our eyes on you, Lord. May we continue to learn from you, Lord. Thank you for this time. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless us all.